Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to the 14th ever episode of Fresh From The Scene. Before this podcast gets going, I'm just going to remind you that if you do enjoy this episode, it might be worth sharing on social media. If you do consider sharing on social media, then thank you very much. It's basically just a way for the podcast to become a bit more well known so that more people can hear it and then ultimately more people get to enjoy the podcast and then the podcast can go on to do bigger and better things. Yeah, just share it with someone who you think might enjoy it. If you want to get in touch with the podcast on social media, you can find it at FFTScene. That's FFTScene on Twitter. Or you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Rubes, RUUBEZ. Yeah, you know the drill. But yeah, get in touch on social media if that's your kind of thing. Just say hi, let me know what you thought of the episode. So without any further ado, here is this week's podcast. Please enjoy.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guest is James Yaw.
Oh, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good.
Is this the bit that comes after the excellent William Yeats?
Yes, it is.
Introduction. Oh, great stuff.
Yeah.
I recognise his beautiful voice anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I message him being like, Will, I'm doing a podcast, but I need some music and I can't really do anything of my own. Give me something to do with it. And he was like, cool, I'll sort you out, Ruby.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, it's great. It's great. It's great. I worked with William Yeats not so long ago.
Yeah, for a song called Egg on My Face.
Exactly, yes.
To not throw the entire structure of my podcast out.
Okay, sorry.
For people who don't know who you are, who is James Yaw?
James Yaw is a, I'm a person and I'm a musician. My main instrument is tuba, but I've been going into the singing, songwriting element of things, mainly to do writing songs with to do with food and drink, and and it's all novelty songs, and I'm just trying to bring a bit of fun into music. James Yaw and the Fridge Doors is my band name. I don't really have a band, but it's a solo artist with a band name, if that makes sense. And I've released 3 singles so far: Red Stripe, Red Stripe, Why Won't You Be My Wife, TV Dinner, and Egg on My Face. And I've got a 4th single coming out soon called I'm Having Trust Issues with Crispy Seaweed, and a full album coming out this year at some point, with some of the proceeds going towards food shelter related charity, which I'm in talks about doing. I think splitting 50-50 with the proceeds.
I mean, I guess it's sort of a bit like, from an outside perspective, that's sort of how your music sort of comes across anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, like I've been listening to a couple of the songs, not just to prepare for the interview, but like, you know, like whenever something came up on my timeline, like, because, you know, you worked with Will Yeats, obviously when that came out, it was like, oh, cool, it's on my timeline. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
This is a really strange video, but okay, I'm on board with it.
Yeah, yeah. The video I was very proud of. It took a bit of preparation, filming it forwards and then reversing it. For those who haven't seen the video, it's I mention a lot of food in Egg on My Face, a lot of different foods. And in the music video, the food that I'm mentioning comes off my face. It's being thrown on in real time, but I've reversed it for the video. So it's being like thrown off my face. So at the end of the video, I've got a clean face. But at the start, it's full of all this different food. And it was horrible to record, but I'm very proud of the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, for like the entire time as well, did you have to sit there with like organ solo in your mouth, or was that like, were there takes in between that?
See, if you notice, if you look at it carefully, I actually do take it out of my mouth because I'm trying to swallow it at some point. Also, if you notice towards the start, I also move some cheese away from my nose because I'm actually like struggling to breathe at that point. Like, you can see my chest moving up and down. So it was really horrible to record, but I'm very, very happy with the outcome.
Yeah.
And the goggles, I had goggles on at the start and they were supposed to stay on for the whole thing and they fell off. So loads of sugar and pea juice went into my eye, which was horrible. And mustard really stings when it's on your skin. I didn't know that. But now I do.
Now you do.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to be like, okay, what am I going to do for a music video concept? Mustard on the skin. No, wait, no, I'm not. I've done that before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How has your like songwriting come about to the way it is? Because like a lot of these songs, I'd say, don't tend to follow like the traditional like pop musical formula, at least.
You know? Yes. So my main influence musically, popular music wise, is a band called the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, if you've heard of them.
Yeah, I listen to them every day.
Well, they were around in the 60s, and they were the Beatles' favourite band at the time. They're the only band other than the Beatles to appear in a Beatles film as well. And they just did like loads of novelty music. All the songs were really weird. They did a song called Tubers in the Moonlight, Hello Mabel. I'm trying to think of some of the obscure... My Pink, Half of the Drainpipe, some really obscure novelty songs. So after listening to them, I listened to more comedy and novelty-type music. Stan Freeberg, if you've heard of him, who's Weird Al Yankovic, who's probably the most well-known for doing like novelty music.
Another one rides the bus.
Yeah, yeah. And Tenacious D, of course. And it's just I feel like music at the moment, more recently it's got less serious, but over the past 5 or 10 years, it feels like music's really serious. I just feel like... I love listening to like novelty tunes and comedy music, so I thought I'd have a go at writing some and recording some. I wasn't thinking about recording it when I first started writing it. I just wrote one food-related song, and then I wrote another one, and then I thought, let's do a whole album, let's do it. And then I bumped into Toby Renwick one day and asked him if he wanted to produce Red Stripe, Red Stripe, Why Won't You Be My Wife? And it's all spurred on from there, really.
Picking up on what you're saying about music tending to be very serious these days, like it does seem like every song has to have like some sort of underlying message or meaning, or like is talking about something a lot bigger than like the song itself actually is.
Yeah,
you know, like it's nice to see that like you can still have a song that's just fun or you know, like just an enjoyable experience for the listener,
and it doesn't have to have a serious meaning as well. So
yeah,
some of my songs do have a hidden element to it, but most of them are just like egg on my face. It's just I took loads of food idioms for that. I was fascinated by food idioms, really. Just idioms in general, like egg on my face, spill the beans,
bringing home the bacon. Also.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
think that was work, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, yeah. And looking at the origin of these phrases and like where they've come from, like egg on my face is from the theatre, like because theatres used to be rowdy. Everybody used to get drunk, and if an actor wasn't doing a good performance, they'd literally throw an egg at them. And if it like they were covered in eggs, so it was egg on my face, you've been disgraced, and which rhymes as well, which helped with the song.
Yeah.
And then spill the beans is from ancient Greece, from when they created democracy, the birth of democracy. They used to vote in beans. Black beans and white beans. And when they went to vote, the person who gave them the beans or told them, who was controlling the vote, said, don't spill the beans.
Yeah.
Because you'll let everybody know what the vote's going to be. So it's really interesting, all these idioms. So I thought I'd try and incorporate them into one song.
Yeah. Which... Not only did you, you know, like, get a load of food idioms, but you also discovered the history of them.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's the nerd I am.
Obviously, you worked... As we've mentioned, like you worked with Will Yeats on that song.
Yeah.
Like, was that both of you like just putting together like food lyrics and stuff, or like did he mostly work on like, because obviously there's a sax solo in there and he's a saxophonist, I think is the word. I don't know.
Saxophonist. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. Will Yeats actually worked a lot on that song. I've actually labeled him as co-writer of that song actually, because he did so much. I came up with the lyrics and the chords. And then I sent him like a demo. I'm really bad at demos. I just get my phone and I just record myself playing like ukulele or banjo and record myself singing over the top of it. They're not good demos, but he took it and he created this whole song out of it basically. And I just went there and recorded the lyrics. So he contributed so much to that song. So he is definitely a co-writer of that song. And he did a great job. I'm really happy with it.
Mm. Thanks, Will.
Yeah, thank you, Will. And I love your intro to this podcast as well.
Yeah, I love it too. Like, I tried so hard to actually come up with my own intro, like, so I could, you know, wouldn't have to credit anyone.
Yeah.
And, like, would be able to, like, do my own thing. But, like, I just had no ideas.
Yeah. I think I've just started my own podcast, actually. And I stole a song that I'd already written with a band I'm in called The Outward Project for the jingle of that and just change the lyrics. So that podcast is called reads the diaries of James Yore, and I get a different guest to speak every month to read my diaries from the previous month.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it's been quite interesting. I recorded one today for February. That's the month that's just gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
This year's going so fast. I stole a bit of a jingle for that. Anyway, I'm diverging a lot. The album's got 11 tracks on it, I think. It's almost all done. I need to record 2 or 3 more songs.
Yeah, and they're all about food and stuff.
They're all about food or drink.
Yeah, obviously, you can't forget Red Stripe and stuff.
I'll see if I can remember all of them. Red Stripe, Why Won't You Be My Wife, TV Dinner, Avocado Man, Egg on My Face, I'm Having Trust Issues with Crispy Seaweed, Sucked In Like Spaghetti, Enchiladas and Wine, Lost Melon. No, I give up. I can't remember the others. But they're recorded.
I remember my friend once started writing a concept EP about just loads of different takeaways and stuff. And he had one that was a ska song about cheese, chips and gravy.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
I feel like if you ever gig, you need to get them as potentially a support band.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's actually a really catchy song and it's a shame that it's not actually being put out.
Oh, yeah, Cheese, Chips and Gravy. That's a great northern song, a northern anthem that could become.
Yeah, it really could. Yeah. Either that or Canadian, but you just have to change it to poutine.
To what, sorry?
Poutine.
Poutine.
Which is basically just cheese, chips and gravy, but Canadian.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, you learn something new every day. Poutine.
Poutine.
How do you spell that?
P-O-U-T-I-N-E, I believe.
I might have some poutine tonight when I get back.
But you mentioned you were in another band when you were just talking about the podcast intro music that
you
had.
This is a very experimental band that I'm in called The Atwood Project, and I live on a street called Atwood Road in Manchester at the moment, and it's just our house basically. I have a really interesting house as a tuba player and aspiring food musician. Michael Grant, who's a musician, he's a wind player, he plays everything, and he's a fantastic musician. There's a Northern Irish actor there, and he's also a tax man. And he's called Cashel Goggin, and there's a guy called Richard Tweed, who owns a fish and chip shop, but he also used to be in a Rage Against the Machine tribute band as the Zach. Zach, what's his second name? De La Rocha or something?
Zach De La Rocha.
That's it.
That's his name.
Yeah. So it's a really weird mix of people, and we've written some weird songs. But we take suggestions on Instagram. So we've only done 2 songs so far, but I've put out on Instagram saying, please send me your song title suggestions, and we pick our favourite one, and then we write a song based on that song title suggestion. But it's so... the music we create is so selfish. I don't think anybody would really enjoy it. It's very weird. We really enjoy making it, and I don't know if anybody would really enjoy listening to it in their own free time, but it's just ironic that we ask other people to contribute when we're not really making it for anybody other than ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I always find that, the first person you should be making music for is yourself.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
As long as you're enjoying it, then I don't think it really matters if other people enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
No, that's definitely the philosophy of the Atwood Project. James, you're on the Fridge Doors is far more listenable, though, I think.
Yeah. did Red Stripe ever agree to marry you?
No, I'm still waiting for a response.
Oh, no.
I know. It's horrendous, really.
Yeah.
Kept me clinging on all this time. I love Red Stripe. I could drink some right now. Really, for right now, I could drink a 4-pack of Red Stripe right now.
I've never actually had it.
Have you not?
No. I mean, I was 5 years sober up until January.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's good going. 5 years?
Yeah.
Wow. No, I used to always drink it in Camel when I went there because it's the cheapest.
It is. It does seem to be, from an observer's point of view, the cheapest lager going.
Yeah, in Camel. And we used to drink so much of it. In my third year house, we created a Christmas tree.
Oh, really?
With Red Stripe cans and put lights around it. It was really cute.
That's really a lot cute. Of Red Stripe cans.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and that's coming from someone who used to drink 30 cans of Coke a day.
Yeah, I think we had about 150 cans or something. That was something ridiculous. I don't drink that much anymore. I've really cut down. I had a glass of wine 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And Yeah, and then my parents, because I was at my parents at the time, they weren't happy about me drinking their wine, so I stopped.
What is it that got you into music then? Because you mentioned, you know, like tuba player, an aspiring food musician. Like, there has to be something before that to bridge those two boundaries as well.
Well, yeah. Originally, the first reason I got into music was both my grandparents were professional musicians. My grandma was in the Ivy Benson Orchestra, which was an all-girl big band during World War II. They became really big because all the men went off fighting and women were actually allowed to be on radio for the first time. It's ridiculous, that. But yeah, so they paved the way for the emancipation. I shouldn't say emancipation because I still don't feel like it's completely equal now, but it really paved the way for like women musicians to come around. And my grandma was in that band, and my granddad was in the Sid Lawrence Orchestra as well, which was another big band, and they appeared on things like Morecambe and Wise, the variety show. So they both played trombone as well, which brass instrument. I was the first person in the family after them to really take on a brass instrument as a career, as a aspiring career, I should say. So I studied tuba at university, and I don't know. I was just procrastinating when I was learning ukulele. I didn't really enjoy learning other people's songs. I just wanted to do my own thing with chords that I knew. So and you know how they say, like, I don't know if this is a sexist thing to say, but they say men think about sex every 10 seconds. I think about food every 10 seconds, I swear. And so naturally, it's the first thing I think about when I'm writing music. So that's why I started writing all these food talks.
Yeah.
And I was learning ukulele and banjo at the time and trying to get my skills up with that. And it all came about from that.
I mean, they do say that, like, a couple of instruments that are just the easiest to write songs on. And you find a lot of people writing, like, songs on ukulele because it's pretty simple, like, as an instrument as well. You know, there's only four strings.
Yes, yeah. No, I
say that as someone with a ukulele. I'm not, you know, dissing
ukulele. Oh, no. I love ukulele, but it's not the hardest instrument to learn.
No.
Neither's tuba, to be fair, so I picked two relatively easy instruments. I'm also in a band called the Jelly Roll Jazz Band, and I play sousaphone in that.
Sousaphone?
It's like a tuba that you wear, like a necklace, and it goes around the top.
Okay.
Yeah. So we go on tour and stuff. We're going on a busking tour next year and got gigs coming up. So I should mention them. I just thought.
Yeah. Like, where are they going to be?
We're at a lot of agricultural shows this year. I'm kind of worried because maybe I'm overthinking this, but this virus that's going around at the moment.
Ah, the coronavirus.
Yeah. They've cancelled loads of events in Europe already. So if they cancel all these events in the UK, that might be my income for spring and summer gone, because I'm supposed to be playing at flower shows and agricultural shows and stuff like that. So, but the main ones we normally do, the Bath and West show down in Bath, and the Lancashire show, the Royal Lancashire show. So we'll be at that again. And
So if people want to see a sousaphone.
A sousaphone.
A sousaphone.
A sousaphone is a much better name. Sousaphone. I might start calling it a sousaphone.
I want 10% of anything going forward. If you ever manage to monetize Scoozaphone.
Scoozaphone.
I've got it right here on this podcast.
Yeah.
I came up with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got the evidence there now. Yeah.
Timestamp 1834.
Okay.
Have you ever managed to play any of, like, the food songs live then, you know?
No, I'm...
Is that like a...
That's a goal this
year.
A goal
for this year.
That was my New Year's resolution in December, to do a gig of me singing. I'm not a trained singer. I don't think I have a particularly good voice, but for that type of songs, I think it's... But I still get that microphobia, like being in front of that probably means something else, doesn't it? Microphobia.
fear
of small things, yeah. But microphone phobia, I should say.
Microphone
being
phobia.
In front of a microphone still kind of scares me, especially if I'm singing. So I just need to, I don't know whether to start doing it just by myself with just my ukulele and singing, or try and get a band to get the Fridge Doors as a as a gigging band. So it's all see how things go. Yeah.
I mean, you could always tie it in, because you're obviously releasing an album. Like, if you tie in like just a one-off gig,
and definitely. Then
there's no pressure there.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's definitely going to happen. I think I'm going to do a album release.
Launch show.
Yeah, probably. I'm going to try and do one in Huddersfield, one in Manchester, and one in Scarborough, because those are the three towns I'm closely associated to. I was born in Hong Kong, but I don't think I'll do one there.
I mean, not particularly this year, at least.
No.
Obviously, if anyone is going to be around Scarborough, Manchester and Huddersfield around whenever this album comes out,
yeah,
they need to keep an eye out for
I wish I could give you a date, but I don't know myself yet. It's all a bit slow moving, because I don't know. I'm working, that's the thing with this album, I should mention that. I'm working with a different producer for each song, so it's taking a lot longer than just finding one producer. And,
yeah.
But I'm really enjoying it, because you get so many different ideas from different people, and each song sounds completely different, I think. If you listen to the three singles I've already released, plus the one that's coming out soon, they've all got completely different feels, and that's because of the producers that I've used, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's slow going, but we'll get there. And I'm having trust issues with Crispy Seaweed. I've sent it to a few of my friends that, like, it's pretty much finished now, and they've said it's your funniest one yet and your catchiest one yet. So we'll see if people agree, the public agree.
I mean, there's nothing like the court of public opinion.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. But on that topic, like, when you are looking for a producer, you know, like, what is it you're looking for from them? Because, like, with novelty music, you know, you want them to be able to actually see the idea that you're putting out, rather than, like, obviously it's a bit easier with, like, if you're an indie band, you go to a producer who's done a lot of indie stuff. Like,
yeah.
I imagine finding a novelty sort of music producer is a bit more.
Yes, it's it's been tricky finding some people. Well, it hasn't been tricky. People who I've asked have all said yes, and it's true. Sometimes people that are, some of the people that I've worked with do one certain type of music, and I'm asking them to do a novelty song, and it's very different for them, but they get it. I think everybody that I've worked with has been great so far, and like Toby Renwick, the first person I worked with, he was like, when we started working together, he was like, I've been doing so much, like, serious sad music, this is so much of a relief just to have a bit of a laugh. And I think a lot of producers are looking for that sometimes anyway, even if they're just mainly focusing on one genre of music, they do like to have a relief. I'm trying to self-produce one of the tracks as well myself, which I've never done before, and I'm scared of technology. I've worked with two of the members from Jelly Roll, who we all have the same sense of humour, the Bonzo Dog Doodle Band, we all love. Please, if anybody's listening to this, the one thing you take away from me speaking is listen to the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, because they will blow your mind. They are so good, and they're so progressive for the 60s as well. And so they produced a track as well, because they know what I'm thinking in my head sometimes before I'm thinking it.
I mean, I'm definitely going to be checking out the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band immediately after this.
You might have heard Neil Innes. He died last month or the month before, so it's quite sad, but he was one of the main members, and he was also in the Ruttles, which were a Beatles parody band. And,
oh, yeah, I've heard of those.
Yeah, they was the same ilk, and they worked with Monty Python and everything. It was it's just great stuff. I advise anybody to go and look for them.
So, like, where do you want to take James Year and the Fridge Doors? Like, what would be your ideal, like, future scenario with them?
So,
I say with them, you know.
With them slash me, yeah. I've already written a second album, and I've started writing a third and fourth album as well, all concept albums. So, ideally, I would like to record more. I will record more, I'm sure of it. But hopefully, I'm when this album was released, I kind of wanted to do well. I'm looking for a food charity, food shelter related charity at the moment to work with, to split the proceeds, because I feel like a lot of people are struggling at the moment to eat. And I, especially after I did that egg on my face video, I was like, I'm so privileged just to use food for this work of art that I'm doing. And I probably wasted that food, which I felt bad about. I gave some money to charity, the same amount as I spent on the food that I did for that. And I just thought, I'm so privileged to be able to afford this food. I'm not rich at all, but there's people who can't eat, and it's just crazy. And so I do want to give something back with this album. So I do hope I generate some money from that for a charity.
Mm.
And after that, I've written an album called Seriously Lighthearted, which is, it's just lots of weird songs, funny songs, more comedy, more going for the comedy, rather than being novelty, the second album's more comedy. And then I've done a concept album about sport, I'm working on that at the moment, and James Yore's Carnival of the Animals as well. So I've got lots of album ideas.
There's a lot of things going on then, yeah, isn't there?
Taking your time to go forward, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as well, like, one of the things that you want to do is you want to, like, keep sort of, like, the same idea going at the same time. Like, obviously, you want to get the food stuff together. You want to get the sport stuff together, because, like, if you start doing, like, mixing and matching and stuff, people will be like, hang on, what's his angle here?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's nice to just... because there's no pressure on working on. I finished this album, this food album, probably about 2 years ago now, writing it. It took me 6 months to think about actually recording a song. So I've been writing songs for 2 years that aren't to do with food. I do want to do more about food in the future, though. I just think about food all the time.
You can have like a second course.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking that helping the other day. So because I was thinking of writing.
James Yore and the Dawes. The second helping.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah, food's so easy to write about as well, because every food is different and it has personalities. Maybe not personality, but features that you can pick out and just rhyme with and everything. So
yeah, like, you know, and so many different people as well have different reactions to food. Like, one person's favourite food is going to be someone else's least favourite food that they wouldn't touch, you know, even if they were going to be paid to do it.
Strong opinions, yeah. When I found out crispy seaweed wasn't actually seaweed, that's why I'm having trust issues with crispy seaweed. That blew my mind. That's why I wrote that song. I was completely dismayed with that. That was crazy. I still love it, but...
I mean, I only found out that people eat crispy seaweed, like, last year.
Really?
Really.
Oh. It's not seaweed, though. It's cabbage.
Yeah, okay.
It's this crazy...
It just apparently looks like seaweed.
Yeah, the most misleading food item ever, probably.
Maybe. I'm trying to think of something a bit more misleading now, but I can't think of anything.
No, I can't either.
You might be right then.
Okay, I'm glad. I like it when I'm right.
Chickpeas. They're not actually made of chicks.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Fish fingers. Fish don't even have fingers.
Yeah, you're coming up with some good ones.
Chicken drumsticks. I've never seen a chicken behind a drumstick. I might leave it with that.
Yeah.
Chicken drumsticks. Those
were good examples. I'm bad at picking things up at the top of my head, but yeah, good examples there.
Improvisation.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, obviously as well, like, that would come under comedy as well. Like, would you never try an improv comedy song?
An improv comedy song? Oh, I don't know. I'm very bad at thinking off the top of my head. It would be quite interesting to do, though. See, I was playing a game with someone recently, because I was talking about this album, and they were listing foods at me, throwing foods at me, and I had to think of rhymes like that could work in a song. So maybe there is something there. So he gave me pineapple, and I couldn't think of anything. Pineapple is spiky. That's what... spiky, sweet... I don't know. Pot noodle. He gave me pot noodle, and I thought you could say, I get ready like a pot noodle. I'm ready to go out in a minute. You take as long as slow cooked pulled pork. That doesn't rhyme, but something like that.
I mean, songs don't have to rhyme necessarily. Like, that's just, you know, you're gatekeeping then.
Yeah. Beat poetry could work in beat poetry.
Beat poetry.
Unrhyming beat poetry.
Mm. I think you said that there isn't really a set date for when Trust Issues with Crispy Seaweed is.
No, it's pretty much almost finished. It's yeah, it should be out this month. So
this month.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah. I released a song today called Banana Juice with the Atwood Project. That's food related, but it's not James Young and the Three Stars. I want to distinguish those two completely because the Atwood Project is
very different.
Very different, and probably not listening for the common man. It's very experimental. Mm. So, but it is food related, that song. So if you really like me because I write songs about food, then maybe that is.
That's
one
the
for
crossover
you.
Point.
Yeah, that is a crossover point. If it was a Venn diagram, that song would be in the middle. Yeah.
So, in a modern sense, who are like the artists that you listen to?
In a modern sense,
yeah.
Okay.
If I said go and listen to an album, like what album would you put on right now?
I am really enjoying Billie Eilish's new album.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
There's a lot of love for Billie Eilish.
Oh,
right? I just call her Billie Eilish.
I think she's an innovator. Eilish. Yeah. I honestly think she's going to change the, maybe not the face of music, but she's going to change music. So to do that at such a young age is.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on her shoulders right now.
Yeah. The Bond song she's just released is great. And I do really like her. I love Queens of the Stone Age. I listen to everything, really. I just. Beck, I'm a big fan of Beck. I listen to a lot of old music. I should listen to more modern music. I do like rap and Hopsin, Eminem. Yeah, I listen to everything. I try and listen to as much as I can. I try and discover new music as often as possible. So I can't think of any music that I really hate. I'm happy with most music. So
yeah.
I'm not a big fan of country.
Not a big fan of country.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think country can, you know, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
A different country. Whichever country I'm not in.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Mm. I'm trying to think of... I like Willie Nelson. That's the only country. Some Dolly Parton.
A little bit of Dolly Parton.
Yeah, that's my go-to karaoke song, Islands in the Stream.
Oh,
Islands in the Stream. Yeah.
I always thought it was Islands in the Street, but then someone told me it wasn't. I was like, I need to change my entire outview of life.
Islands in the Street? No.
It's like, you know, they're the things that are like halfway through the traffic so you can walk into.
No, I get
so,
that.
So, you know, it does make sense.
It does make sense. It does. Yeah.
I guess maybe it's just like Mandela effect
that could
and
have
stuff.
Been, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's a parody in the future.
It could be, yeah.
Islands in the Street, you just sing it from like lots of different islands in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, whilst I've still got you here, is there anything you want to plug? You know, like, you've obviously got a single coming out this month.
Yes. I promise it will be March. I'm Having Trust Issues with Crispy Seaweed will be out in March. The full album Banquet will be out this year at some point. The Jelly Roll Jazz Band will be doing gigs and busking at some point. So if you want to keep up with that, look on Facebook. If you want to suggest a song title for the Atwood Project, follow me on Instagram, your_James. Every month or every couple of months I put something up there where you can suggest a song. We will take your suggestions, and if you put a good one, we'll pick yours, but we won't write a song that you probably won't enjoy the song, but you'll have contributed to the title.
I mean, people like getting contributions.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, that's the music that I've got going on at the moment. Yeah. So.
And if people want to find you online, you've already mentioned your_James. Or is it that's James underscore your?
Your_James is my Spotify. I've got a Facebook for James Your on the Fridge Doors. And I'm on Spotify, iTunes, everything like that. So
as usual, there will be links in the description to all of these.
Oh, you know. Great stuff. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it helps people like not have to like, okay, did he say your_James? Or James_your.
Yeah. Well, your is spelled U-R-E as well.
Yeah.
And my band, I don't know if I'm a band or a solo artist, but the reason why I've called myself James Your on the Fridge Doors is because your kind of rhymes with doors, and people always pronounce my last name wrong. You had Alex Tracy on.
Yeah.
Didn't you? Who was saying people spell his
people
name wrong.
People spell his name wrong.
People spell my name wrong and they say it wrong. So I've got the worst of both worlds.
The worst of both worlds.
But that's why I've got that title, Your Doors, kind of rhymes. Semi-rhyme.
Semi-rhyme.
It's acceptable in songwriting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people trying to rhyme things with orange. They've been trying to do that for centuries.
Yeah, no, I can't help you there. Yeah.
Florange.
Florange.
I think you've just got to make up words to make it work. But, you know, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's
been
a pleasure.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Jinx.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope everything goes well with the James Your and the Doors Project 2020.
Thank you very much, and I hope that you get lots more fantastic guests on your podcast and it all goes well. Yeah.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed that podcast with James Yore, you can always go and find him on social media and other platforms. Links are in the description. I was asked to mention after we recorded the interview that I'm Having Trust Issues with Crispy Seaweed was produced by Joshua Kime. So there's just a little bit of a shout out to Joshua Kime for producing I'm Having Trust Issues with Crispy Seaweed. Aren't we all having trust issues with Crispy Seaweed? Yeah. If you did enjoy this episode, don't forget you can share it on social media and let everyone else know what you thought of this episode. If you're listening on a platform that allows it, you can always leave a review. Make sure you follow the podcast and just spread the word, really. It all helps. As always, I have been Ruby Price and I shall see you in the next podcast. Thank you very much. Goodbye.